a lot of this sounds like science fiction, but I'd like to keep our journal and our readership really on the cutting edge of these new developments and us talking about how we can project into the future from the standpoint of creatively using these new developments for new treatment discovery and maybe even new treatment.
That's Dr. Ned Kalin, the new editor of the American Journal of Psychiatry. The January 2019 issue of the journal is his first official issue as editor, and he joins us to outline his vision for his tenure and discuss what kinds of research will be appearing in the journal. I'm Michael Roy, executive editor of the American Journal of Psychiatry, and this is AJP Audio. Let's jump right into our interview with Ned Kalin. So it is my privilege to introduce the new editor of the American Journal of Psychiatry, Ned Kalin. Ned's the 13th person to hold this position in the 175-year history of the American Journal of Psychiatry. So Ned, congratulations and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I'm honored to be able to be in this position to continue the tradition that the American Journal has had, particularly our most recent editor, Bob Friedman, who has done an outstanding job with the journal and really has gotten it to a place, from my perspective, where it's really an exciting thing to be taking over and to be continuing with his tradition and hopefully pushing it forward.
Now, while the January issue is the first official one of your tenure, you've actually been quite busy as the editor designate the past 6 months. So as you've taken on to this new role, has anything surprised you?
Well, I really have been quite busy, and one of the things that surprised me actually was how busy I've been already with the journal. I knew that it was going to be an immersion and a considerable amount of work, but getting into the journal and really seeing what goes on with it and how it functions has been really very interesting and also eye-opening. I've been really impressed with the quality of the articles that are coming in and the way that the deputy editors have been working together, as well as your office, Michael, from the standpoint of just the excellent support that I've already seen that was provided to Bob Friedman and I can see, you know, is being provided to me. I think one of the things that is really interesting also is just the breadth of the articles. And again, I've known the journal for a long time, but it's a little bit different when you're under the hood and really, really seeing it very, very directly. So I'm very excited about taking on the role and following in Bob's footsteps and also really trying to think through how we can further advance the journal.
Well, you start speaking to that in your introduction to the January issue where you give your greeting, where you talk about your wish to and your intent to balance and integrate translational neuroscience with clinical studies in a way that's accessible and engaging to the AJP readership. Do you want to speak to this a bit more?
Yeah, I really would like to. I think that one of the opportunities that we have with the American Journal is to really bring some of the new scientific developments that underpin our clinical work to our readership. And I'm particularly excited about doing that in a way that feels engaging for the readership, feels accessible to folks, even with some basic scientific types of things, and want to think about how we can translate this more basic science to the clinical situations in a way that is really exciting and interesting to all the readers of the journal. So I think that one of the things that, you know, the journal has been very, very strong across the board. It's been particularly strong in relation to clinical trials and clinically relevant types of information and data. I think one area that we can strengthen is translational neuroscience, which really is that interface between some of the basic discoveries in neuroscience that relate to behavior and emotion and cognition, and think about how we can understand that in a way that's going to inform our understanding of our patients and hopefully inform the development of new treatments. The challenge is really capturing those types of papers and presenting them in a way that is understandable and is also interesting, that reveals the scientific underpinnings of things, but doesn't get so bogged down at times in some of the minutia that it loses its interest.
Now, I know one of the things you've been most interested in is actually using the issues as kind of like an educational tutorial for the readership. So in terms of issue compilation, you're interested in tying together what on the surface may seem to be disparate studies, but that together actually tell a more complete story. And in line with that, actually, the January issue has three schizophrenia genetics articles that you asked Danny Weinberger to contribute both an editorial and a review to cover. Do you want to highlight that?
One of the things that I've been struck by is that we have an opportunity, I think, to get the high-quality articles and papers that come into the journal and that are accepted for publication, and to put them together in a way that hopefully will inform an area or a topic in a sort of a systematic way, if you will. And so what I'm trying to do actually is to start organizing each issue around a critical theme that is relevant to the treatment of the patients that we see, or is relevant to a particular diagnosis, or maybe even relevant to the science that underlies that diagnosis or that treatment. And so by doing that, one of the things that I would like to do, and we're doing for the January issue, as you pointed out, is trying to capture an expert in the field to write a little bit more than a commentary, sort of a mini review, if you will, of the critical themes that are presented in the papers that are relevant to that particular area. And so in the January issue, we're focusing on schizophrenia with a particular interest in the genetics of schizophrenia. There's some outstanding papers that we're publishing that are related to things like polygenic risk scores and also understanding how those risk scores relate to outcomes and perhaps treatment. And we've asked Danny Weinberger, who is one of the leading experts in the field of schizophrenia research worldwide, to actually write a paper on how we think about genetics, the recent developments in genetics as they relate to schizophrenia, and more, even more broadly, as how do we think about genetics in relation to all of psychiatric disorders, because all of these disorders are complex disorders that are heritable, but are complex from the standpoint of having lots and lots of different genes and genetic variation involved with the risk to develop the illness. So I'm excited about the opportunity to, again, to think about how we can pull together a theme using papers that may or may not obviously be related to that theme, but to think about how they do relate to that theme, and then bring them together in a way that can be very educational, hopefully, for our readership, and also will involve one of the leading experts in the field to have a chance to have a voice and also to sort of summarize the important issues and also further elaborate on them for the journal and for our readership.
So now when you're talking about expanding the breadth of the research that is appearing in the journal and going into translational neuroscience, could you elaborate more on some of the emerging areas that really excite you?
You know, part of my vision is to, as I was discussing, is to bring translational neuroscience to the journal in a way that balances the journal from the standpoint of having clinical neuroscience that's relevant to psychiatry and more basic neuroscience that's relevant to psychiatry mixed in with the clinical application of treatments and diagnoses that are important to our field. And some of the areas that I think are really important to be thinking about that I would like to cover would be neuromodulation, which is obviously very important right these days in relation to how we think about other treatments for our patients. Not only what is the clinical utility of neuromodulation and different strategies for neuromodulation, but also, again, what are the scientific underpinnings related to that? There are emerging fields that are really relevant from the standpoint of things like stem cell biology and beginning to think about how we can use discoveries from stem cells that are made into neurons in a dish, how that can inform how we understand the pathophysiology of the illnesses we treat, how that can inform the discovery of new drugs, and how we can even think about that perhaps in relationship to personalized psychiatry as we move forward with the field. Actually, the idea that in the future we may be able to sample one's own skin and make stem cells into neurons and then use those neurons to actually understand in that individual what may be critical. A lot of this sounds like science fiction, but I'd like to keep our journal and our readership really on the cutting edge of these new developments and us talking about how we can project into the future from the standpoint of creatively using these new developments for new treatment discovery and maybe even new treatments. And there are a vast array of these types of things that I'm excited about and I think our readership would be excited about too.
Well, all right, Ned. So all of that sounds fascinating. And thank you so much. We're looking forward to introducing the January issue to the world and looking forward to the next years with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited about the opportunity and really looking forward to it too and to working with all of you.
And that concludes this episode of AJP Audio. You can rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to it. Please also visit our website, ajp.psychiatryonline.org, to check out trending articles, find CME courses, and watch videos highlighting some of our articles. Be sure to check out another podcast from APA Publishing. From Pages to Practice reviews the latest research published in the journal Psychiatric Services. It's hosted by Dr. Lisa Dixon, editor-in-chief of the journal, along with Dr. Josh Berezin. You can find it at ps.psychiatryonline.org. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts or on the podcast page of the American Psychiatric Association's website. Next month on the AJP Audio Podcast, we'll talk to Patricia Conrad of the University of Montreal about her article on the relationship between substance use and adolescent cognitive development. We'll also speak with Kathleen Brady from the Medical University of South Carolina. Dr. Brady is one of the new deputy editors of the American Journal of Psychiatry, and she will be discussing how the articles in the February issue help advance our knowledge of substance use disorders. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening.